Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, March 28th, and our guest joining us by phone today is Dr. Jack Fiennes. He's a clinical psychologist. Good morning, Dr. Fiennes.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, pretty good for the fourth week. We had a nice little downpour of rain. Finally got a storm up here that doesn't have any snow in it, but usually we got out of the snow. Now we had rain and the ducks are out. It's fine.
Well, I hope you're faring well in the changing weather. It's been a while since we've checked in. What's going on in the world of clinical psychology today?
Well, there's a lot of research going on. This is the time of year where, in fact, the weather and rain and all that you just alluded to is a big studying point in terms of the cycles of moods and anxiety and depression and affect of people. Obviously snow and all that is very great. Snowmen are very nice at Christmas time and around Thanksgiving, perhaps. But this winter has drug on a lot. And so a lot of people are pretty angry, a lot of people pretty depressed, a lot of people pretty agitated about how long this winter has gone on. Getting stuck in the driveway and having to be in bitter cold. It was really cold, 3 below 0 sometimes up here. So there's a lot of discussion about the relationship between heavy duty winters and heavy duty feelings, and this year has been pretty involved with a lot of my people. A lot of people I know do research on this.
I would think that winters, especially being dark and gloomy and cold, kind of being sedentary throughout the season, really leads to maybe some depression, or at least moodiness or something like that.
Yes, in fact, it's sort of there's almost what I call the no options, quote unquote, no options feeling sometimes, because you can be sort of depressed and sad during the summer or during spring, but you can always get out. It's not too usually not too brittle to get out and get to take a walk or ride a bike or go get a ice cream cone or go visit somebody. But when you're stuck in a house and it's 40-mile-an-hour winds or 20 below zero or something and it snows everywhere and you can't move, there's not much to do except watch TV or maybe read a book maybe. And a lot of people are tired of that. I mean, that works for a couple of weeks, but after a couple of months, it gets to be pretty, it's not much to do, And fortunately, there is great gospel-oriented media like KFUO that if people would listen to that or listen on the, watch it on the, KFUO.org, they can connect up for some spiritual lifting of their moods and feelings. But quite frankly, it can be a very long and lonely winter.
It can be. It can be long, lonely, and cold. So spring brings some changes in weather. As you said, with nicer weather, you can get out and enjoy it, go for a walk. What are some other things that you suggest in dealing with depression and anxiety that we might experience from the long winter?
Well, the one thing that sometimes people don't realize is springs can sometimes be a challenge for depressed people also, because spring, there's a lot of people that are all very happy. They're out playing their tennis, or they're out jogging or riding a bike or getting out, and there's a lot of people that may not see life as that enjoyable, and they may be challenged even then by saying, my life's not that good. I don't have any that many friends to go visit, et cetera, et cetera. And so they can also be emotionally challenged in spring. I think what you need to do is, what people need to do is see, especially people that have a very strong Christian basis, take a look at the environment and the weather and everything is all run and developed by God himself and controlled by God himself. And if he can control those things, he can certainly control other aspects of your life. And, the Romans 8 type of situation. And so, He is there with you, even though you're not feeling too great. Do a connection with him. I just did a course on Daniel at Our Savior's Lutheran here in Springfield, and not so much the apocalyptic side of it, but like daily devotions based on Daniel. And Daniel got himself a lot of hard driving situations, and so did that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And every time, every instance, every example, God was right there with him. That angel was right there with him. So that even if you're getting down, even you're served up some really lopsided situations in life, and sometimes life can be very lopsided negatively. Understand that Emmanuel, that God is right smack dab with you. He's feeling the same thing seeing the same thing, groaning with you, as it says in Romans 8, and will never let you go. Just like in, pretty soon we're going to be celebrating the Easter season. And the first stories you see in there is Luke 24, two very depressed, very agitated disciples are walking to Emmaus, and we always use that example as an example of the resurrection of Christ, and it is, but it's also an example of the fact that when you're depressed and you're stressed out and you're anxious, who shows up? Jesus is there walking with you right to Emmaus. He's a jealous God that does not want to be away from his people.
What can we do for others who might be experiencing depression or anxiety?
I think one thing that is, first of all, be very observant, okay? I think one thing we want to is watch our friends. I mean, we all pretty well know some people who get more stressed and more agitated and more depressed. We sort of know our friends and neighbors and relatives and that. And rather than going over there just joyous all the time, you might want to, I mean, that's good, but the problem is if they're not feeling it that way, then you got to get in their mind, their network. But there's a big thing about fellowship and the koinonia thing. Go over, see a friend, visit, not necessarily talk on the phone or texting, not that, but go visit and try to share with them some, get them out of the house, get them somewhere, maybe take them to a movie, maybe take them to a restaurant, whatever, get them on a walk, and get socialize with them and connect with them, and so that you can be part of their network and vice versa. And that's very big. It's people do like people, and people that are lonely and depressed and anxious, sometimes major complaint is I don't have any friends, and that people don't know me, people don't care about me, people have forgotten about me, people don't care. And if a friend, a neighbor, a grandmother, a parent, somebody comes by to visit, it can make all the difference in the world, especially when they're feeling really lonely and abandoned. So go over, make it a point, I guess, and it's going to help you out too, because the more you're helping people, the better you're feeling yourself. Make it a point to sort of take a list of people you know or care about or family members that, you know, you see somewhat most of the time, and write that list down, see which ones might be a little more moody than others, and make sure you go over and visit them. And even if you're a little bit of a pest, it's better to be a little bit of a pest and visit people that are abandoned, feel abandoned, than not see them at all.
Who would be more likely to experience depression or anxiety this time of year? Are there particular individuals who might be likely to experience depression or anxiety?
It's really all over the gamut, but usually it's you can get some adolescent females, young females, who let's say are going through some changes and challenges in their life, that maybe they're not going to be invited to the dance like some of the other girls, or maybe they're having a problem between themselves and their parents. Sometimes it's women and men that are in their middle ages, and I don't know what that's defined as, but between 35 and 45 or somewhere there, the zest of youth is so somewhat gone. The acceptance of being older is not quite there yet, and they're looking at their life, and they're not quite sure they're as fulfilled as they could be. Maybe they've lost their relatives. Maybe they've gone through a divorce or some type of bad situation. But those are the people that I think we see really being challenged this time of year. I mean, anybody at any time can be challenged. But those are the if you've got an adolescent female in the house, or maybe a relative that's in the 30s and 40s that, you know, sometimes seems a little bit moody or challenged this time of year, that would be somebody I would definitely go visit.
Very good. Well, we're talking with Dr. Jack Vines, clinical psychologist. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation. Stick around for more His Time on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
For our 75th anniversary, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service celebrates more than 500,000 lives transformed through ministries of mercy and justice. Celebrate this milestone through Refugee Sunday on June 22nd. Special LCMS resource kits are on the way to your congregation for planning, discussion, prayer, and action. Join us and thousands of other congregations as we walk with migrants and refugees to brighter tomorrows. LIRS.org.
Author Tim Gagline, who served as the special assistant to President George W. Bush, talks about the importance of KFUO.
KFUO is in the middle of the culture. And if you want to impact culture, you have to be in it. I think that we owe the best that is within us to our country, culture, and civilization. And now with the advent of the internet to the world, how do we find new ways to the rising generation of young Americans to share the good news of Jesus's birth, death, and resurrection? How do we use our moral imagination? How do we use creativity to get the word out? That's what it's all about. That's what KFUO is doing. It is making it new. It's saying, here is our great legacy and our great heritage as Lutherans who are privileged and honored to live in this country. I love KFUO for that reason.
On the radio, online, and on demand, worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here for Reformation Rush Hour. Join me on the next program as we talk with Pastor Dan Harmelink, Director of Concordia Historical Institute. We'll find out what they can do for you, your church, and or your pastor. Also, we'll talk with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about the Hobby Lobby case, and we'll talk about how aborted babies have been used to fuel the furnaces to heat a hospital in England. 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. Dr. Fiennes, we talked about anxiety and depression in the first segment. Anything else on that that you'd like to share before we jump ahead to our next topic?
I think that the one thing to realize is if you want to look at any book about the relief of anxiety or the relief of moods and depression, take a good look at the Bible, because a lot of people like to read psychology books, and there's good stuff in psychology books and self-help books, but it's actually God that actually in Philippians 4:6 and Psalm 37 tells people, don't be anxious about anything, don't fret about anything, let me handle it, let me be God. I mean, the relief for anxiety is right there in the book. It's he knows people pretty well. He knows we get anxious a lot, and guess what? He also addresses it.
Well, speaking of anxiety, at this time of year, a lot of students are preparing for graduation, whether high school students or college students, might be afraid of the future, especially graduating college students who maybe don't have a great prospective job lined up. How do you deal with those anxieties or those fears of the future?
Well, that actually is the fear of the future is the big topic these days. You've got the graduating seniors who maybe can't find jobs, and quite frankly, right now, I think the number I saw was only 28% of students that are graduating from college have a potential job. That's one-third. When I graduated from college, it was almost 80 to 100%, so it's a huge difference. Number two, you got a lot of people listening to, and nothing against the media, obviously, but a lot of people listening to media, and between the Crimean situation and the airplane fire, the Flight 360 that went down, plus a mudslide, a lot of people are feeling that they're out of the world, their future is out of control. The big thing about people is we like what we call in psychology a locus of control. We like to think that we're in charge. We're never in charge. But we like to believe that we're sort of in charge of our day, in charge of our future, in charge of our plans. And when you have these situations, these cataclysms happening, all of a sudden, it's like that big storm Sandy that came through a couple election cycle ago. I mean, it was all of a sudden we had this perfectly good life, and then Sandy showed up. And that gets very scary. This Crimean thing's got a lot of people nervous. What's going to happen next? I mean, not so much we're going to go to war, but is the stock market going to crash again? The mudslides are terrible. I mean, but then the media pushed and pushed it so much. There's a lot of fear that no one's in control of their life. And we're really never in control of our life. And we got to realize that the only people in charge of our life is God himself, and we rely on him. But there's a huge lack, a huge fear that we have no control of the future, and that there's no focus or direction for the life. And that does happen a lot with college students, because they realize that there's only about three out of ten will get jobs.
Yeah, the odds aren't really in their favor right now. So,
and this has become that 3 out of 10 has become a trend, mm-hmm. a trend, for almost a decade now. It's not just something that it just happened. Sometimes it's in downplays in the economy that will keep the situation low, but then it reverses itself. we've got a situation now that really since about 2005, it's been very, very, almost 8-9 years, been very strong unemployment for college students. So I'd be probably pretty agitated myself, you know. But seriously, that is something to worry. That is something they worry about.
But yet, with that fear and worry that students might experience, whether it be college students who are looking for a job or the high school student who's still trying to figure out what they're going to do next year in terms of college or a career or volunteering, something like that, trying to figure out their plan for next year and still haven't figured that out. Dealing with that fear, you pointed us to back to the Word of God. Trust that God is control of everything.
Well, that issue of locus of control was developed by some psychologists known as Popper and other people back in the 1970s. The locus of control and efficacy in one's life, the Al Bandura, was actually brought up by 12 little disciples, or 12 disciples, and it's in Luke and Matthew. I think it's like Matthew 6 and Luke 12 or somewhere there. When they're walking around and they're trying to figure out their own life, and they're trying to figure out who's going to be first in the kingdom of God, and who's going to be this and who's going to be that, and what are we going to do? And this guy named Jesus, who was a pretty good psychologist, was walking with him. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And they're talking about, you know, the future and all that kind of thing. And he basically gave a simple criteria to see just how much of control of your life you think you have. And you deal with this with patients all the time. Tell me the exact number of hairs on your head, okay? Tell me how you can grow taller, not wider, but taller. And tell me how you can be as pretty as a flower or fly like a dove, okay? If you can't match those four criteria, and that's pretty clear from Jesus' statements, so they can't, then you shouldn't worry about being in control of your life. And because, you know, God creates the flowers, God lets the birds fly, God knows how many hairs are on your head, and God also is the one that designed your height. And if that guy's in charge, then don't worry about your own sense of control. Don't worry about your own efficacy, because he's the guy you rely on. And, I mean, those are four somewhat subtle, but they may sound silly, responses, but that's exactly the responses Jesus gives to the disciples and says, worry about the troubles of the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your control of life. You know, the students are in school. They're worrying about jobs. Don't pray about it. Work hard, try to find one, but do not worry and fret about your own sense of self so much. The same thing for people that are fearing about Crimea and fearing about, you know, the way the world's going. The one person in charge of the world and the history of the world, and we brought this up in the Daniel class I taught, is God himself, not us. He knows what's going to happen. We don't. We've got to follow, not lead.
I've heard mentioned before when we become overwhelmed with fear or anxiety our own problems, that focusing on helping others might be a good way to take the attention off of ourselves. Would maybe a year of volunteering, as a, you know, going from being a student to a year of volunteering instead of going right to work, might be helpful?
Oh yeah. In fact, years and years ago, when JFK was president, they created the Peace Corps and that type of thing. Which is, I mean, I'm not saying you have to get into something that involved, but you can. You know, I suggest people do that on a regular basis as part of their daily walk. Anyway, there's all kinds of different places you can volunteer from various goodwill enterprises to schools with special needs people or older people's homes. But yeah, if you get in a situation where there's no options maybe for a career or whatever, take a year. You know, a lot of kids do take a year off anyway when they start getting there. It used to be for fun, just hopping around beaches or Europe. Take a year and share and work with other people, because the more you work with other people, especially other people that are in need, that really don't have a lot of options like you do, that maybe, you know, intellectually or emotionally or physically or financially are beaten down, you can share with them and help them out. And quite frankly, by helping others and lifting them up, you get lifted up yourself. So that's no question. In the Lutheran system, we got all kinds of Bethesdas all over the place. We got all kinds of people that need older people, like we got Concordia Village here in town for retired people. People that need visits, people need talks, people need hugs, people need prayers. Get over and visit them. Get over and take care of them. Help others, and you know, take some time each month or each day or each year, and it will alleviate your own missions focus. I got a friend in Mike Mass in Chicago, and he's always looking for volunteers in some of the mission fields up there in Chicago to help rebuild churches or rebuild youth facilities. help, get involved and get help for others, and you'll get some help yourself.
Just taking the focus off of ourselves, I think, alone probably could be quite helpful.
Well, you know, that's one of the major themes when Jesus talks to people is you're all focused on yourself. You know, be still and know that I'm God is a phrase that comes over and over and over again. Don't look inside yourself. Don't, you know, that's actually what gets us in trouble when we look at ourselves. I mean, the first stories in the Bible is God's coming down to the Garden of Eden to talk to mankind, and they're hiding because they're getting clothed because they fear. They fear they're naked because they can't figure out life. They think they're not in charge of life. God says, you know, focus on me. The focus has got to be on the real control factor in life, and the control factor in life, which is Him, loves us and makes sure everything will work out for us. That's the angle. We can't figure it out, whether it be a job, a future, a relationship. Focus on Him and get out and help other people. There's other people out there that need human help. Find them, deal with them, and it will alleviate some of your tension.
Very good. So taking the focus off of ourselves, helping others certainly can help us deal with anxiety and fear that might come up this time of year.
Let me tell you something. If you don't think there's people in need in your community, think again. There's people in need everywhere. I mean, you can ask your pastor, ask your friends, or just for that matter, look in the telephone book or scan the Google for help ideas. You know, there's tons of people, and I think there's usually people right within your own neighborhood you can find.
Absolutely. Well, with just a little over a minute left, any other good tips to help us maintain good mental health this time of year, Dr. Fiennes?
One thing we always like to use, a phrase we like to use, we always use where we're envious or jealous of things in our life. Understand that the jealous, zealous God, that's the exact same language God uses in Exodus 20 when He talks about the Ten Commandments, and I know there's the Ten Commandments in there, and I know we always read the fear one, that, you know, punishing the people who don't follow the commandment, but it's followed directly back by gospel, and God says, I am a jealous God, and I'm going to bless those people that love me from generation to generation. Understand, God is zealous of you, wants your soul, and wants you to be happy, and wants to be with you. So your God is energized. He's not just some guy sitting on a throne somewhere thinking about the world. God is active, energy, trying to get to be with you, love you, hold you, and support you. So He's a very active, dynamic, loving God that wants to help you out every day. Remember that, and don't look at yourself.
Very good. Always pointing us back to the cross. It's nice to have a clinical psychologist that points us back to Jesus.
Well, that's the only way to point, except for the Cardinal games, and they're coming up pretty soon. When's the opening day of Cardinal season, anyway?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I should have looked it up. I know it's coming up pretty soon. I know that Ballpark Village just opened last night. So,
oh, good.
We'll have to check it out. We've been talking with Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. Dr. Fiennes, always good to check in with you. Thanks for being our guest on His Time this morning.
God's blessings, everyone. I'll see you at the St. Louis Stadium.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Dr. Fiennes. Coming up next, we're going to study the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Mark Sturtevant from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Stick around for that conversation, that study, in just a little bit right after AP Radio News and the weather here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO.